Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer, I should say, for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports. And it's been quite the last 3 or 4 days or whatever the heck it's been now. I did a podcast following the last Avalanche road game where they were able to come away with a victory against the Utah Hockey Club. My brain, sorry, is in five different places. Against Utah Hockey Club to increase their winning streak to 4 games. Then they came home for 2 games in 2 nights. They had Ottawa, they had Chicago. Obviously a back-to-back. I'm obviously recording here. It's Wednesday afternoon. We just wrapped up morning skate. 3 games in 4 nights, all at Ball Arena. I don't think I've ever seen that. Truly, truly, I've never seen that. So it's different. But the biggest thing about these last 3 days is just, number one, trying to find the time to bring in a podcast. Should have been yesterday, but I'll get to that in a second. Number two, trying to figure out where to even start. Like, the Avalanche play that game against the Ottawa Senators. They take a 2-0 lead into the third period in a dud of a game where nobody's really playing well. And even in the first two periods where they were up 2-0, there was a whole lot of Bednar switching Mittelstadt and MacKinnon. Bednar switching and putting Kovalenko with Nate and Mikko for a couple shifts. And just trying all these different things. At one point, he put Malinsky with Taves because he didn't like the way Cale Makar was playing. And despite all that, the Avs have a 2-0 lead entering the third period, and then the 2-0 lead disappears, and then they get it back, and then they make it 4-2, and then it's 4-3, and then it's 5-3, and then it's 5-4. Like, just back and forth, bad game. And then the very next day, you have the Chicago Blackhawks. Probably should have done a podcast between Ottawa and Chicago, but obviously, very quick turnaround. You wake up the next day, getting ready for another game. The Avalanche go into that game. Still no Kaapo Kähkönen. This time it's going to be Alexander Georgiev starting for the first time in 5 or 6 or whatever the hell games. I believe 5 games after Justus Annanen won 4 straight games following the Georgiev win against the Anaheim Ducks at Ball Arena. Georgiev comes in and doesn't look great in the first period, but the Avalanche just look brutal up and down the lineup. They were outshot at one point by the Chicago freaking Blackhawks 12-3. Filip Kurashev came into the game with 1 point, and I think he left with a triple the amount number of that. He had 2 points. Everybody just looked bad again. The top line didn't play well. MacKinnon, Mikko, they were not looking great. Cale Makar and Devon Taves, Jared Bednar was very open in saying they were not looking great. It was just over and over and over. Kind of him over those two games, calling out his top guys, just didn't like the way they played. Today, Wednesday, he said during morning skate, he loved the way that they competed on the road. He just wishes they brought that back home with them. So something was a little bit off there. So then the Chicago game wraps up. The Avalanche obviously lose 5-2, just a very tough and bad game. 5-on-5, just, you know, a whole lot of nothing going on, especially with the top guys. Mikko Rantanen Mikko Rantanen has 1 goal since opening night where he scored a hat trick against Vegas. So he's got 1 goal and 9 assists in the last 9 games, you know, 10 points in 9 games, great and all, but this is a 100-point player that you want to score 40 to 50, if not more than 50 goals. So a little bit of a struggle there. Devon Taves, he missed a few games. I believe he's at 6 now. Devon Taves has 1 assist in 6 games. Devon Taves assisted on the very first goal of the season against the Vegas Golden Knights. Goal 1 of 4 against Vegas. So Devon Taves doesn't have a point in 5 games, which might seem like a, you know, not a huge deal, but it is when you consider the fact that this team needs production from everywhere, and they've been getting it from a lot of forwards. Cale Makar has been doing it. Josh Manson had a goal. Granted, it was a little bit of a gift of a goal, I should say. They even have Sam Girard getting some points in lately. I think Sam Malinsky's been getting some points in. But you want to see more out of Devon Taves. So they come out of that game against Chicago. Is it time to do a podcast? Yes, maybe. But at the same time, we don't know what the hell's going on with Ross Colton. Miles Wood missed practice. Ross Colton missed practice. And then both of them play. And then Miles Wood ends up with an upper body injury after he missed practice. I'm pretty sure because of a lower body injury, something that has to do with his groin or hip or something. when he was banged up earlier in the season. And obviously there's no confirmation to that. That's just me speculating. But then you have Ross Colton, misses practice, gets back in, plays the game, scores another goal, 9 goals in 10 games, I believe is where he's at now, or maybe it's 8 goals. And then blocks a shot, breaks his foot. Now he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Like, it's 8 goals, but now he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, let's talk about it. Well, we don't really have updates on that. We also don't know what's going on with Kaapo Kähkönen. We don't know what's going on with Justus Annan and Alexander Georgiev. Who's playing? Who's not? Who are they going to call up? Are they going to call anybody up? We have all those answers now. My goodness, is this team in a little bit of a rut right now? Like, all things considered, that entire spiel that I just had aside, it is beyond mind-boggling to me that this team is 5-5, like in a good way. The fact that they were 0-4 and now they're 5-5, yes, they're coming off a loss. So they won 5 straight and then lost the 5th game after. But it is crazy to me that they're 500. They probably shouldn't be 500. Even though 7 of their first 10 games came against non-playoff teams from a season ago, the only 3 playoff teams they've played are Boston, Vegas, and Islanders, and there's a common theme between all 3 of them. They were all losses. Now they got the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're playing Kaapo Kähkönen. They don't have Colton. It's going to be a tough stretch here. I mean, no other way around it. It's going to be a tough stretch here. They got the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the lineup here in just a moment. And then they got the Nashville Predators, then they got the Seattle Kraken again, but then they got the Winnipeg Jets, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Nashville Predators, the LA Kings, the Washington Capitals. That's a lot of playoff teams from a year ago. Are the LA Kings quite the same kind of threat? Not really. Washington Capitals look great. You got Nashville in there twice. They haven't been off to a great start, but they can take off at any time. And then, of course, you got the Winnipeg Jets, who just lost their first game of the season after starting off strong, I believe 8-0 to start the year. So it's going to be a little bit of a battle here. The Tampa Bay Lightning are 6-3. They're coming off a big win where they welcomed, coincidentally, the Nashville Predators, the next team that the Avalanche face. They welcomed in the Nashville Predators and Steven Stamkos to Amalie Arena, beat them in overtime. But the Tampa Bay Lightning look like the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is the gold standard of how, when it looks like your team is starting to trail off from being a cup contender, you rebuild and not rebuild. You retool on the fly. You make the tough decisions to let go of guys like Palat and Killorn. You make the toughest of decisions to let Steven Stamkos walk. But you go out and get Jake Guentzel. You make the tough decision of trading Sergachev. But in that trade, you bring in JJ Moser. You make the tough decision of trading Ryan McDonagh, but then you go out and bring him back a couple years later because there's an opportunity to bring that piece back into the lineup now that Sergachev is gone. You got to be able to make these decisions. The one mind-boggling, puzzling thing that Tampa Bay keeps doing that I don't understand is continuing to overplay the heck out of Vasilevskiy after all these years and all these playoff runs. If they get him a little bit of some help on D, a little bit of help in the crease and a backup that's not Jonas Johansson, no disrespect to the former Av goalie, then they'll probably look a hell of a lot better if Vasi is playing 58, 59 games rather than what he's been playing the last few years. But that aside, the Lightning look excellent. Jake Guentzel is a great fit. You know, put the Steven Stamkos drama aside, because that's what it is, and it was a tough decision for them to make that decision. You look at their team, Nikita Kucherov in 9 games, 8 goals and 6 assists, 14 points. Brandon Hagel in 9 games, 6 goals, 4 assists, 10 points. Anthony Cirelli, who is among the best defensive centermen in the NHL, however, has never had more than 45 points, and he just hit that mark last year. He's had a 45, a 44, a 43, a 39. Anthony Cirelli, playing only 16.55 per game, 1 goal, 9 assists, 10 points. Braden Point, top line centerman. 6 goals, 3 assists, 9 points. Again, point per game. Nick Paul, your third line center, your third best center on the team, who's also been playing on the wing a little bit in the top six. 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points. Again, in 9 games. Jake Guentzel, the big offseason ad. The guy that came in to replace, not, you know, clear as day replace, but came in to replace the role of Steven Stamkos, playing 19 minutes a night. 9 games, 2 goals, 7 assists, 9 points. Point per game, Gensel, Paul, Point, Sorelli, Hagel, and Kucherov. And obviously, when you get to Sorelli, Hagel, and especially Kucherov, they're well over a point per game. Well, at least Kucherov is. And then you got Victor Hedman, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points in 9 games. Victor Hedman is still doing his thing. JJ Moser, who nobody talks about. Man, this kid is good. He's playing 21 minutes a night. He looks unbelievable doing it. He's playing more than Sorelli and McDonough. He's playing with Victor Hedman. He's got 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. He's also a plus 6. Sorry, a plus 9. A team best plus 9. He looks unbelievable. Against the New Jersey Devils last week on October 22nd, it was the JJ Moser show. He had a goal and 2 assists for the Lightning. This is a guy that in his first 2 full seasons in the NHL had 31 and 26 points. And he's pretty damn good defensively. With the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's not even getting the same power play opportunities he was getting with Arizona. And he's up to 6 points in 9 games. And he's playing well defensively. And he's playing with Victor Hedman and doing a great job at that. You can't ask for more. And then you get lower in the lineup, and that's obviously when it starts to tail off a little bit. So these guys are no joke. This is the gold standard. You know, the Avalanche have their, you know, their version of some of these moves. Bringing in someone like Arturi Lehkonen reminds me a lot of the Tampa Bay Lightning bringing in someone like Brandon Hagel. It's a younger player in their prime who fits with the core and signs long-term. Lehkonen obviously is not long-term, but he's in his 3rd full season. And all 3 of those seasons came after he was a deadline acquisition and won the cup that year. They go out and bring in somebody like Jake Gensel. They trade a huge piece like Sergachev. The Avalanche did the same thing when they traded Bowen Byram. You know, maybe Byram doesn't have the same resume as Sergachev yet. And he doesn't. Maybe he'll never be as good as Sergachev. Maybe he'll be better. We'll see. I personally think it's going to be when he leaves Buffalo. But they trade Bowen Byram for a young 24-year-old centerman who's now 25, who you've locked up for 3 years, who's now part of your core, and an exceptional talent. So the Avalanche have been doing some of these moves, but Tampa Bay is the gold standard. They went back and got Ryan McDonough to play with Eric Chernak on the second pair, to reunite that second pair. And they said, all we got to do is find a guy to play with Victor Hedman. If you guys remember the Stanley Cup final, it was Jan Rutta. Then there was a little bit of Perbix here and there and a bunch of other guys. And now it's JJ Moser, and he fits. It works. And then you got guys lower in the lineup like Nick Perbix, who's now only playing 14 minutes a night where he should be. Darren Radish has played 5 games. Emil Lilberg has played 7 games. These are guys that belong on the third pair. But you figured out your top 4. You figured out how to get Chernak back with McDonough. And you figured out how to get Victor Hedman, a guy that you can trust, who's only 24 years old. This is going to be a tough game. Now, let me move from Tampa Bay to Colorado, because I'm sure you guys would rather hear about the Avalanche, even though it's a lot less exciting to talk about their lineup right now. I put together what I feel are the projected line combinations for tonight, knowing very well that I could be off by a little bit. We'll see how it shakes out, because when the Avalanche take morning skate, they don't do line rushes. They just do power play drills. But here is basically where we're at. Ross Colton's got a foot injury, and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Miles Wood is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Jonathan Drouin is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Arturi Lehkonen at this point, shoulder. I would say day-to-day, being reevaluated, had his appointment with a doctor. Jared Bednar should have more by Wednesday night about this. So if you're listening to this after the Avalanche game, there might already be an update. But we'll just say day-to-day. Gabe Landeskog, knee, no timetable. Val Nichushkin, 2 weeks from today will be the day that he can officially be reinstated. Will he get reinstated on Wednesday, November 13? That's a wonderful question. Your guess is as good as mine. Missing all of those guys. Oh, and by the way, Kaapo Kähkönen starting in goal. I'll get to that in a second. Projected Avalanche lineup. Top line left winger, Ivan. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen. Second line, looks a little familiar. Nikolai Kovalenko, Casey Mittelstadt, Logan O'Connor. Third line, and my prediction here is, TJ Tynan comes in from the AHL right onto the third line with Parker Kelly and Joel Kiviranta, which means Chris Wagner will center a rookie in Matt Steinberg, who probably shouldn't be in the NHL yet. Not this long. And on the left wing, one Oliver Shillington. On defense, Taves Makar, Gerard Manson, Dejan Malinsky. At least they got all their guys there. And then in goal, Kaapo Kähkönen, Alexander Georgiev will back him up. Eustace Annan gets the night off. The Avalanche called up TJ Tynan. They don't have the cap space, I don't believe, to call up two forwards. I need to double check into that. But Oliver Shillington's been practicing quite a little bit on forward. I think he did it twice. So he's going to slot in. How that's going to work, that's a wonderful question. But, you know, the reality is, whether it's on Oliver Shillington, whether it's Phillips, whether it's Foodie, Pershapov, no matter who they bring up, the reality is these guys ain't playing a lot. There was a game in December 2022, if you guys remember, against the Boston Bruins. The Avs got shut out 4-0, understandably so. Their top line was left winger Alex Newhook, centerman Mikko Rantanen, right winger Charles Hudon. They were injured like hell. This game reminds me a lot of that. The only difference is at least you got Rantanen, McKinnon, Mittelstadt, Makar, Taves all ready to go. If the Avalanche win this game, like they nothing can stop them. Tampa Bay is always a tough opponent. They beat them at Ball Arena last year. They lost to them, I believe, 6-4 at Amalie Arena with Eustace Annan in goal. I remember there was a third period outburst of goals for the Lightning. So I'm kind of glad he's not facing them tonight. I'm kind of glad it's going to be Kaapo Kähkönen. This game could go really bad. Like, there's no two ways about it. The Tampa Bay Lightning look like a wagon right now. The only time that they had a little bit of a hiccup in recent weeks, or in recent games, I should say, is the one against the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they got creamed last Monday, and that was 9 days ago. They've won two games in a row. They look pretty damn good. I'm going to check right now because I haven't confirmed yet because I was not there for their morning skate because I was busy sitting in the media room talking about all the many roll call updates for the Avalanche's injuries. I don't know yet if Vasilevskiy is getting the start tonight. As far as I'm concerned right now, there is no confirmation. It's projected to be Kähkönen versus Vasilevskiy. Maybe Jonas Johansson gets in. Maybe Tampa Bay says, we're on the road. We're facing a Western Conference team that's injured. We'll play Johansson against his former team. Or maybe they just outright say, nah, Vasilevskiy, get him in the jugular. Like, that's the way that I probably would see John Cooper doing it. Speaking of John Cooper, this is a little bit of a fascinating tidbit, you know, heading into the Four Nations face-off, which I believe, let me Google this real quickly. I want to see who's on his staff. Bruce Cassidy, Pete DeBoer, Rick Tocchet, and Misha Donskov. That's who it was. They'll be the assistant coaches for John Cooper. But to go back to what I was going to say, John Cooper, when I was leaving the rink, and Nathan MacKinnon were standing off to the side having a private one-on-one conversation away from everybody after morning skate. And I thought that was really cool. Obviously, I didn't tweet it. I didn't talk about it. I'm probably going to write about it tonight during my post-game story. But it's a fascinating duo. And it's 100% John Cooper's got to be talking to him about playing for Team Canada. Julien Brisebois was on the staff with Kyle Dubas to put together this team. I believe Doug Armstrong is going to take care of the Canadian national team with those two, Brisebois and Dubas, for the 2026 Olympics. But for the Four Nations face-off in Boston and Montreal coming up here in, what, 3 months? 4 months, I should say. John Cooper is going to be the coach. Julien Brisebois is the big name, the big man at the top putting the team together, and you know Nathan MacKinnon is going to play a large role. So I thought it was really cool. The day of a game, there is still that thought of international play, John Cooper and Nathan MacKinnon having a private conversation. So I thought that was really fascinating. But this is going to be a big matchup. This is going to be a weird one, and I hate that I'm getting this podcast out so late. I hate that I didn't get a chance to break down the Chicago and Ottawa games, but just given the way this is all shaken out, waiting for the next update, it felt kind of like, you know, now looking back, I waited too long, but at the same time, like, there was always something to say, let me get that information first, and here's where we are. And to recap, Ross Colton's out 6 to 8 weeks. Miles Wood, day-to-day, is going to be out 7 to 10 days, is what Jared Bednar predicted. Lekkonen will have an update Wednesday night. Jonathan Drouin's day-to-day. Gabe Landeskog, no timetable. Val Nichushkin, obviously suspended for another 14 days, is going to be his first eligible day to be reinstated. And we got the Tampa Bay Lightning with Kaapo Kähkönen making his Colorado Avalanche debut. So enjoy the game tonight. If you're listening to this podcast before the game, I hope it goes well. If you're listening to this podcast after the game, I hope you're hearing me talk about all this, saying, yeah, well, just wait, Arif. In the future, you're going to be able to see the Avalanche really come out and put in a good effort against the Tampa Bay Lightning, maybe win the damn thing and get 2 points. Because what's crazy is that if the Avalanche lose tonight, they will already have 4 or 5, I want to say 5, honestly, losses at Ball Arena. Is that right? Yeah, they're 2-4. They'll already have 5 losses at Ball Arena. And if they lose in regulation, it'll be 5 regulation losses at Ball Arena. Last season, they were 31-9-1. It's wild. They were also only had 19 wins on the road last year, 19-16-6. You want that to get better, and so far so good, you know, 3-1. But really interested to see how this one shakes out. So if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. I'm Arif Dean. We out ya.